One of the great blessings of my life growing up was being close to a lot of my cousins. And I remember many times throughout the summers of my childhood sitting around a campfire with my cousins. Whether it was late at night or sometimes even early in the morning, we'd stoke up the coals and rebuild a fire after when we were camping or up at the cabin or something like that. But we'd sit around the fire and we'd chat and get into all sorts of mischief. And included in that was playing with the fire. We'd do all kinds of things like with the fire, having fun with it. And I always remember my Uncle Pete had this iron rod that he would use to stoke up the fire, to move logs around and that sort of thing to make sure the fire was good. So one of us cousins would always try to get the iron rod so that we could hold it and, you know, stick it in the fire and play with it. And inevitably, we would stick it into the hot coals and let it sit there for as long as we thought necessary until it was red hot. And then we might, like, brand pieces of wood with it, no people, or maybe, like, burn an ant or something like that. And I always remember, too, very specifically, that if it would be sometime shortly after a rainfall, there would be water in either a little bird bath or a bucket or something near the campfire. And so what we would do is take that iron rod out and stick it into to the water. And of course, you know what happens when you take a really, really hot piece of metal and put it into water. It sizzles, right? It almost like boils that water. The water is changed in some sense. It's transformed, this with the water especially, right around that iron rod. It's kind of cool to take in. One of my favorite stories from the Old Testament is the story of the prophet Elijah with the priests of Baal. Elijah says, "Let's have a little competition to see who the true God is." And Elijah says, "You, priests of Baal, who is a pagan god," they say, "you get a bull, slaughter it, and put it on an altar. And I'll do the same. I'll get a bull, slaughter it, put it on an altar. And we'll each pray to our respective gods, you to your pagan god, me to the living God. And whichever one of them responds with fire is the true God." And so these priests of the pagan god Baal set up their altar and place their offering on the altar. And they begin praying. They begin shouting out to the Lord, to their Lord. And nothing happens. And Elijah taunts them and he says, "Shout louder. Maybe your God is asleep. He's busy." And so they shout louder and they dance around and they actually like cut themselves to try to appease their pagan god, and nothing happens. Okay, so then it's Elijah's turn. Elijah the prophet sets up his altar, places his offering on the altar, and then says, "Fill up 4 huge buckets full of water and pour them onto the offering, over the sacrifice, over the altar." So they do. He says, "Do it again, 4 more buckets, huge buckets full of water, dump them onto the offering." So a second time they do it. And a third time, he says, "Fill 4 more buckets up, pour them over the offering." And at this point, the scriptures tell us that there is like a moat or a trench around the altar because it's so wet. It's so full of water. And then Elijah makes his humble prayer to the Lord. And the Lord responds with immense flames, flames that consume the sacrifice, the altar, and indeed all of the water. The water is completely transformed into vapor, I suppose you would say, completely changed. The fathers of the church, some of the earliest scholars, see in this story of Elijah and the prophets, the priests of Baal, they see a prefiguration, a foreshadowing of the feast that we celebrate today. Because today we celebrate the feast of the baptism of the Lord, the baptism of the Lord in the Jordan. And in a real way, just as fire came down on that sopping wet offering in that trench of water, so too, Christ our God has come down from earth, from heaven to earth, been born, and now enters into the water, almost like a flame. And that water is then transformed Because Christ has no need to be transformed by the waters of baptism. We know that. He's God. He hasn't sinned. So he has no need of sin to be wiped off of his soul. So instead, the waters are indeed transformed by him. So that, as Jesus says to Nicodemus in the book of John, that we might be born again by water and the Spirit. And as we prayed in the blessing of the water that we used in the sprinkling rite today, that even souls might be cleansed and gain eternal life. This is the mystery and the gift that we get to enter into today on this feast of the baptism of the Lord. The fact that the waters, by Jesus's entering into them, are prepared for us, that we might be baptized. And so what does this mean for us today? Well, ultimately, in as much as we've been baptized, and especially for those of us that have been confirmed with the sacred chrism, with that chrism and that anointing, we have been baptized into Christ. That again, in the church's tradition, we speak of those who are baptized as other Christs, as alter Christus, as people truly living as Christians, right? As Christ. And so what does that mean for us? Well, it might not mean that we can change all of water throughout all of time and history. But it does mean that in some sense, we can enter into our own little environment and have a major impact on those people who are closest to us. Just like that iron rod that was stuck into the water, it doesn't make the whole bucket of water boil, but just the water right around it, right around where it's hot. Each one of us, as other Christs, as he entered into the waters of the Jordan, sanctified all water for all time when we call God's blessing down upon it, so too can we transform, in some sense, the water of the people around us by living as true Christ, by living in that identity as God's sons and daughters that we've received from our baptism. What a beautiful gift that is, to live in charity, to seek to love other people and put them ahead of ourselves. And again, it starts really with those who are closest to us, our family, our friends, perhaps our coworkers, our classmates in school, to focus on them, to focus on them. That's the gift that the Lord has given to us today by entering in, receiving the baptism from John in the waters of the Jordan, and thus sanctifying the waters for all time, that we might be called sons and daughters of God. And as his sons and daughters being born, we too are fed by our Father, fed here at this altar with Christ's body and blood, that we in some sense receive who and what we are. What an amazing gift that is. And so glory be to the Holy Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, forever and ever. Amen.